With Steve Scher, I'm Marcy Silman, and this is The Record from KUOW. Imagine one day, while you're in your parents' basement, you get a phone call offering you your dream job. That's what happened to Karen Prell. Her dream was to be a puppeteer, and shortly after her first interview with Muppets creator Jim Henson, Karen's dream came true. Karen Prell told our colleague Ross Reynolds about the first time she met Jim Henson. She says it was a bit like a magic carpet ride.
Got a call from New York, and they said, we would like you to come and audition for the Muppets. And I couldn't believe it. I had sent a videotape to the company several months ago of shows I'd done locally for the Puyallup Fair and for Green River Community College, where I worked with their theater department. But this was still a huge surprise. I was running around the house screaming. Mom thought I was on fire until she figured out what was going on. And within a few days, I was flying to New York City. This was at Christmas time of 1979. And I went to the Jim Henson Company. And most of the staff had already gone on their Christmas break. So I ring the doorbell and I'm led inside. And Jim Henson is right there to greet me. He gave me a hug.
Wow.
Which was amazing. You know, my idol saying, welcome, you know, being very supportive and welcoming. No one else was there, so I actually literally auditioned with Jim. I brought some of my own puppets, and he provided some Sesame Street puppets.
And apparently nailed it. You got the gig.
I did, but it was quite challenging. I was on Sesame Street for a year and a half, and it was very overwhelming. I just needed more life experience. I was living in Manhattan, from the parents' basement to Manhattan.
That's a jump.
And I was 20. They actually let me go, and I didn't work out on Sesame Street, but I got a chance to audition for Fraggle Rock in a year after I had more life experience, and then that's when it really took and held.
It must have been hard to have been asked to leave Sesame Street, going from the moment when Jim Henson gives you a big hug when you walk in the door to him telling you he was letting you go. What was that like for you?
It was a shock, but at the same time, it wasn't really a surprise because I was struggling and I'd watched enough of the show to know what really good quality puppeteering needed to be. I didn't have the life or the acting experience to know how to hit certain characteristics without being very, very one note.
I see. And over that time in between, did you learn a lot about puppeteering that made your performances when you returned to Jim Henson Productions on Fraggle Rock that much better?
A little bit, but it really was more just settling into being out in the world, being grown up, taking on a lot of independent responsibilities. And I was very shy and not very social. So just, you know, in the middle of New York, you pick up social skills. I just was a bit more relaxed and had a bit more life wisdom to know that I could figure it out and do a good job.
Describe this puppet you created on Fraggle Rock, Red. Who was Red?
She was a very, very hyperactive tomboy, very blunt, very to the point, very proactive, very different from the way I saw myself. But when I was cast as that character, I had actually wanted to be Moki, which was the quieter female character on the show. It was Jim that decided, no, I should be Red. And I was concerned at first, but it turns out he did this many, many times with many people. He could see the inner Red that I hadn't yet discovered yet. And once I was working on the show and got settled in, it's like, oh, there she is. Woohoo! And no problem. You know, it worked out. Jim was able to see that inside of me.
So did you get to reveal parts of yourself through this character that maybe you wouldn't ordinarily do in everyday life?
Yeah, just being able to take ownership of things that need solving or fixing and speaking up. It helped me grow as a person, not only working with the people on the show, but exploring all the different depths of this one character.
How much did you bring to Red? Was the voice something they coached you to be like that, or was the voice something that you arrived at?
I had to work at getting the voice. She actually started out in the first few episodes of having a very, very low voice, and Moki had a very high voice, and then that kind of changed a little bit, and she got in kind of a sharper, more nasal sound that was just more comfortable and worked. As we got to know the characters, every production, you could do all the preparation you want, but once you're in front of the camera and working it out in real time with the other performers, there's a lot of things that fall into place that evolve as you go.
How vested did you become in the character? Were you able to bring changes to it, were you able to say, no, no, Red would not do that, and then and argue for a change in script?
I was very active with the story sessions. And that was a rare and precious thing. I've since discovered, oh, that doesn't happen these days.
That's rare, huh?
Very rare, very rare. And it was so wonderful. The whole Fraggle Rock production allowed everybody to make suggestions and help solve problems.
I have to ask you about one of your other puppeteering jobs, though. A lot of people will remember the cult classic Labyrinth.
Oh, yes.
With David Bowie, he plays a goblin king overlord. And he sings a lot. What was that like to work on that film?
It was fun, very challenging. We shot over 5 months in England in the summer of 1985. There was a lot that was being done in camera that these days would totally be done with computers, mm-hmm. absolutely. But there was still limited use of computers for animation and for special effects and for superimposing images. So many, many, many parts of the film actually happened for real in camera, like the Escher Maids. It was actually there. People on wires and rods and bits and pieces.
Did you have many scenes with David Bowie?
I was one of the goblin group, so he had swarms of goblins in his castle, so I performed several goblins that were just part of the crowd. And there's one with kind of a bird-looking face and a big helmet that's chewing on a chicken leg. That's one of the ones I performed.
Did David Bowie hang out, or was it like he was in his star dressing room and you were doing your thing?
No, he was very interested. I mean, he was a performance artist. That was his background. So he was fascinated by the work we were doing. And he'd hang around and talk to the puppeteers and the puppet makers and was very interested in the process. And afterwards, when shooting Rap, he'd hang out in the studio pub with the crew members. So yes, he was very, very open.
We got to be in a movie with David Bowie, and I understand you also met your husband then, is that right?
Well, I'm divorced now, but my husband, Mike Quinn, our puppets flirted with each other on Labyrinth.
Sparks flew between the puppets.
We were
and
again
in real life.
Again in the big goblin scene. In many of the big goblin scenes in the castle of David Bowie's character, Jareth, I might be in one part of the set, and my to-be husband, Mike Quinn, was in another part of the set, but we could see each other on the video monitor. So we'd kind of imitate what each other was doing or do something, and the other one would laugh in kind of puppet body language. You know, we couldn't talk. We couldn't hear each other, but we were speaking in puppet body language, which is an important part of the art. In addition to the talking.
So this was part of the courtship, was these puppets?
Yeah.
That's Karen Prell on Love and Puppets. She spoke with our colleague Ross Reynolds. Prell is the puppeteer behind Red from the TV show Fraggle Rock. She couldn't leave without letting Red the puppet have the last say. Here's what Red wanted listeners to know.
Hey, silly creatures, let the music play and have lots of fun running around and acting like a Fraggle. And maybe if you're lucky, you'll get a chance to visit Fraggle Rock.
And there it is. And this isn't Fraggle Rock. It's The Record on KUOW.